Time now for the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield. Stay tuned to find out how you can become totally debt-free and retire with dignity and peace of mind. You can call Steve with your questions about debt or retirement right now at 1-800-732-6458 or call the station at 770-748-1340. Now, here's Steve Barfield.
Hello, my friends. I hope you're all having a good afternoon. And as always, if you're driving, make sure you keep your focus on the road. And if you miss anything on the show today, you can go to the Financial Framework Show website and listen to the recorded broadcast. Your safety is the most important thing. Today is the first show with call-in questions, and I'm looking forward to talking to you and discussing different issues about debt and retirement, or money and how it relates to our lives. The call-in number is 1-800-732-6458. Again, 1-800-732-6458. Or you can call the local WGAA radio station number at 770-748-1340. That's 770-748-1340. Now, I'm really excited about the chance to talk to you on the phone and discuss issues that are on your mind. But I still need to cover a little more information before we begin. And remember, there's no such thing as a dumb question. The only dumb question is the one that's not asked. We need to make sure that 2010 is all that we want it to be, and I want you to start to dream again and to set goals and work towards making them happen, making them come true. You see, the difference between a dream and a goal is planning. Dreams require the same amount of effort as setting a goal. Goals can be achieved with planning and effort, and dreams can be turned into goals. It only takes commitment and hard work. And as Ben Franklin said, the only place that success comes before work is in the dictionary. Those who try to succeed and fail are infinitely greater than those who do nothing and succeed. Remember, if you think you can, you can. And if you think you can't, you're exactly right. Achieving a goal is simple as pie. The P stands for plan. The I stands for implement. And the E stands for evaluate. Once you set a goal, lay out a plan of how to achieve the goal and put the plan into action, implement. And then you have to see how the plan is working, evaluate, and if it is working, keep at it. If it isn't working, revise the plan, figure out how to make it work, and move forward and repeat as necessary. I hope this makes sense. Let's begin today's segment talking about a very important goal for 2010. Now, once again, the top three New Year's resolutions are to lose weight, to stop smoking, and to get out of debt. Like I said last week, I might be overstepping my boundaries if I talk to you about losing weight and to stop smoking, but I can definitely help you with your quest to become debt-free. To make this happen, the first step is to make up your mind that you're going to begin the process and then stick with it until you're financially free. If your mind isn't made up, if you half-heartedly attempt to become debt-free, then you will most definitely fail. But if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, if you really want to make things better for yourself and for your family, you need to plant a flag in the sand and get ready to do battle against all that the devil can throw at you. And as the number one speech that Vince Lombardi gave stated in the last line, "But I firmly believe that any man's finest hour, his greatest fulfillment to all he holds dear, is that moment when he has to work his heart out in a good cause and he's exhausted on the field of battle, victorious." I want you to be victorious. I want you to bring back some of the thoughts that you had years ago about where you wanted to go and what you wanted to do. I want you to realize that the only thing preventing you from realizing those dreams is your debt load. What would your life be like today if you were completely debt-free? What could you accomplish? What could you do for your family, your church, your community? You see, the sky's the limit if you can release the shackles that are around your ankles. So get fired up. Get started. And if you get knocked down, get up. Dust yourself off and head right back into battle. Just refuse to lose. Now let's begin to lay out a plan for you to become debt-free. You can build a plan on your own, or you can go to the Financial Framework Seminar website and build one there. But you will either be in one or two situations once you begin. You are either current on your debt obligations, or you're struggling like so many people are right now due to the economy and dishonest banks. So let's discuss the different scenarios. If you are current on your debts and are able to make the payments, even if it's tight, all you need to do is to commit to what you're currently spending each and every month to the goal of being debt-free. When one debt pays off, add that monthly payment to the next worst debt in line, and do this as each debt is eliminated. And one by one, you'll see debts being eliminated. But if you have trouble doing this on your own, we have the tools available to assist you. Go to the Financial Framework Seminar website and look at all the tools and calculators that are there for you. Now, if you're not current, make some phone calls to the creditors and let them know that you are behind the eight ball and you would appreciate some assistance if at all possible. It is very important for you to let them know that you want to honor your financial commitments, but some things out of your control has happened. If you get someone on the phone who will not try to help lower the interest rates and possibly the payments, simply say goodbye and call back again. Do this over and over until you get someone who is willing to help. And if this fails after several attempts, then ask for a supervisor. Also, do not let any creditor bully you around and have you send them money. You must make your mortgage payment first and then your car payments. You must protect your family home and you must have a way to get to and from work. Now, if this winds up being your situation, just send a credit card company something every month, even if it's only $5 or $10. This shows them you're willing to do all that you can do. Now, one more thing. Do not let a nonprofit credit counselor tell you not to make your house payment or your other payments for 3 months so that they can help you. Anyone who tells a potential customer not to honor their obligations is not honest and should be reported to the state that you live in. I have had numerous emails and phone calls about this lately, and it burns me up. Let me know if this happens or has happened to you, please. If you need assistance with creating your plan to become debt-free, let us know and we can assist you. Then once the plan is laid out, the next stage is to implement it and then to evaluate it as time passes. And remember, this can be as easy as pie. And I hope that you're going to commit to becoming debt-free in 2010 and that you're going to begin to work on your plan to make it happen. Let's take a short commercial break and then we'll begin taking phone calls.
Okay, it's going to be a bright, bright, sunshiny day, and I know Steve Barfield can help you out if you have problems with your credit or your creditors, and he can show you how to get out of debt. And here he is, Steve Barfield.
How you doing, guys? We're sitting here in the
we're waiting for your call
in the radio station. We're excited to talk to you and have a lot to talk about. We have a lot of stuff going on in the news world, in the financial world today. The banks and the Federal Reserve, they're betting against us. They're setting the stage so that we are most definitely going to fail unless we're out of debt. So our focus has got to be in 2010 to get out of debt. There's no way around it. That has to be our main focus. And they have stated that the Federal Reserve has talked about the consumer debt numbers. We actually did decrease our amount of savings our debt last month. Last quarter, it's the first time in a long time, and that is even upsetting the banks and the Federal Reserve because
they want us to borrow more money.
They want us to borrow more money, and the more money that we have borrowed, then the worse off we are, and the more we'll be in their bondage. So,
all right, Steve, we're doing a call-in show today, and we have our first caller. So let's go on the phone, and who's calling?
This is Danny.
Danny. You got a question for Steve?
Yes, sir. I was wondering, me and my wife's trying to get out of debt, and we have some rental property, and I was wondering if we should include it in trying to pay it off sooner than our note, or just continue just paying the minimum amount and keep paying the interest.
So what you're saying, Danny, is you have rental property, and you want to know whether or not you want to pay it off. Is that the question?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, first off, if you listen to the show on a regular basis, getting out of debt, completely out of debt, is your target. That's your goal. And the rental property should be treated just the same as your first mortgage and your credit cards and those other debts. Because if you think about it, if you will take and pay off that rental property, if you will pay off your first mortgage, if you pay off all those debts, just how much better of a situation you will be in. And see, by paying off that rental property early, what will happen then is, let's assume that maybe the rent that's being paid by the renters is $1,000 a month. And right now, a portion of that or all of that is going to actually make the payment, which you're paying the mortgage company a tremendous amount of interest.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens when you pay this thing off,
then that $1,000 then goes into your monthly budget, which will help you and your family out on a monthly basis. While at the same time, you know, you still have your rental property is still sitting there, hopefully increasing in value. And so you're making money off of it while somebody's living there, plus the actual property itself. But the main thing is to be out of the control of the Federal Reserve and the banks. We've got to become debt free. So, you know, if I were you, that would be my goal. And do you have a plan or any kind of idea how you're going to do this?
No, not yet. That's why I was wondering if I should try to pay more than my actual rent that I'm collecting from my renter, adding money to it to you know, pay it off earlier.
Well, now let me ask you a question. Do you have any credit card debt or any auto loans or anything like that also?
Yeah, I have a small auto loan.
Okay, well, you probably want to attack it first and go ahead and just, you know, pay your regular first mortgage payment if you have a first mortgage and go ahead and pay the rental property, you know, from the money that's coming in from the renter. But go ahead and try your best to accelerate the payment from the auto loan. And once okay. you listen now, once you get, in fact, how much is the auto loan payment on a monthly basis?
$550.
So now, the deal is though, you add as much money as you can to that $550, and you eliminate that auto payment as soon as possible. But then you take that entire amount, mm-hmm. and you add it then to the rental property, and so whatever's being sent in from the rent, you add the extra $550 plus what you're accelerating that with. You add all that together, and you send it in and knock out that rental property. Or you could even attack your first mortgage first, but you know. Since it's two mortgages, they kind of go, they're kind of equal. So, but just make sure that you keep that $550 and the money you use to accelerate it. Make sure you continue to use it somewhere and don't let it go back into your budget. That's people's problem is when they okay. pay off a car or another debt, that money just simply goes back into their budget and there's no plan for it. So, you know, make sure that you have a plan for it.
Okay. I appreciate it, and I'll be calling in and listening every week.
Okay,
all right. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you.
All right, so that was a good question. And so the idea.
So if Danny had, say, he had some credit cards, he'd want to pay those off. And then after he had those paid off, he would want to pay off his car.
Right.
And then after he paid his car off, if he, say, he had five rental properties, he'd start paying on one and pay it off and then pay on the next one and then the next one and then the next one, right?
Right. And as he pays off one, okay, the thing about it is whatever amount that's going to pay off that one, it needs to continue. But it needs to go to the second one,
and it just that the total the amount he's paying per month doesn't go down. It just rolls into a larger payment on the next greatest debt.
And that's the secret of actually getting out of debt, because see, people don't realize that they will pay off a debt, and that money it just simply goes to, you know, a fast food restaurant or shopping.
Then it goes back in their pocket, and they say,
spent.
"Well, I got a little extra money this month."
That's exactly what happens. So that money will go to the next worst debt in line, and they would continue spending the same amount. Now, another thing too that's key is once Danny gets his rental property and his first mortgage paid off, then all the money that he had going to debt, if it was $3,000, $2,500, or whatever it is, then Danny and his family, they should take that money and not blow it. It should go then into their retirement account.
Okay, Steve, this is a call-in program. People can call in and ask you questions. And what are the phone numbers that they should call?
The number is 800-732-6458, 800-732-6458, or the local WGAA radio number is 770-748-1340. 770-748-1340.
This is the Financial Framework Show, and let's see, we got another caller. This is Financial Framework Show. Who is this?
Hey, my name's Jerry.
Okay, I can't hear you.
My name's Jerry.
Okay, Jerry, what's your question?
I got a mortgage on, and I've been making my payments on time.
We can barely hear you.
You're breaking up, so Jerry, we can't hear you. Maybe you want to call us back, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Sometimes we just get bad connections with cell phones, and maybe Jerry will call us back in just a minute. Now,
Well, you know, but while we're waiting on a call, let's talk about the situation that's kind of going on in the country when it comes to consumer debt. We right now are looking at about 9.3% of the 52.4 million mortgages now that are 60 days past due. And what's going to happen is the current wave that's going on in the stock market is going to wind up, well, it's not going to be there. There's too many other factors and too many other things going on against us right now that, you know, I want you to be real safe and secure with what you do with your money.
And it's better to be out of debt than have a bunch of debt when the stock market goes kaput again.
Getting out of debt, being out of debt, that's the key. That's the only, that's what we can do. And when you're looking at investing in things, you know, the mutual fund market has been, you know, tremendous since the Depression. But the last decade, all the way from 2000 till today, I got a report from the USA Today that shows that it's averaged, the stock mutual fund market is average 1.11% a year for the past decade, which if you look at government bonds, treasury bills, even the consumer price index, the government's main gauge of inflation, actually stomped the average stock fund. So we've got to be conservative and we've got to be real careful with what we do for our retirement.
Okay, we got another call. Let's go back to the phone line. Good morning. You're on the Financial Framework Show.
Hey, it's Jerry again. Can
you
hear
Jerry,
me now?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I was hearing Steve saying something about how to get your credit card interest rates to get reduced. I've got a couple credit cards, and I've been making the payments on time, but they went and they raised my interest rates to 29%, and I just don't know what to do.
Well, first off, Jerry, don't panic. That's their practice nowadays. You've heard me say on the show before that the banks are just about the most dishonest thing that I've ever seen. But what you want to do, Jerry, is you want to contact the credit card companies, and you want to let them know that, you know, you're behind the eight ball, that, you know, you've been a good customer for a long time, and you don't appreciate, you know, what's happened. Of course, you really can't get, you know, on the offensive with them. You really, you know, you want to call kind of as humble as you can be, I guess. Let me back up on that. And you want to talk to them about if they can actually drop the interest rate or drop the payment sum so that it will help you. And if you wind up getting somebody that cannot or will not help you, assist you in this, then what you need to do then is to just simply say goodbye, hang up, and then call back in again, just like I said earlier on the phone. And you'll continue to do this several times, sometimes until you finally get somebody that will have a heart and will help you. And then if this don't work, Jerry, what I want you to do is and when that person won't help you, then just ask for a supervisor. But if you'll continue this pace, you will probably eventually find somebody that will help you do this. Does that make any sense?
So I just need to call them and keep asking until they do something, right?
Yeah, until they do something. Now, do you have other debt also other than your credit cards?
Well, yeah, I have a house mortgage.
Well,
no car payments.
Well, what you want to do is you want to, you know, you definitely want to get rid of those credit cards. You want to pay those things off as soon as possible. Are you using a budget of any sort?
No.
Well, we teach in our financial framework seminar a budgeting system. It's called EC budgeting. And what happens, you would use two separate checking accounts. So what you should do is go to preferably a credit union and get a free checking account and set up your credit cards and your mortgage. And every time you get paid, put enough money into that that new checking account. We'll call it Budget A. All right. Put enough in every week, every time you're paid to cover that mortgage and those two credit cards. Whatever is left over, then you will then put that into, or you'll just leave it into your Budget B account, which is your lifestyle. If you go to church and tithe, or if you utilities, groceries, gasoline, you know, all your lifestyle expenses are in Budget B. And then what you'll do then is budget that money in Budget B, look for all the holes you can in your bucket, and then you want to start adding more money to one of those credit cards. You know, as soon as you can find more and more money, add it to one of those credit cards. Now, let's say that the credit card payment, the minimum is $100 a month. And let's say that you find another $150 a month when you start your budgeting process. Then so you'll be adding $250 a month to that first credit card. On the other credit card, you'll make the minimum payment on it while you're knocking out the first one. You make your house payment as usual. And then once that first credit card is eliminated, then you take the entire $250, the original $100 payment and $150 that you was adding to it, the $250 together, and you use that and you attack then the next credit card. And don't put that $100 that was going to that first credit card back into your budget, okay? And another thing, Jerry, is do your best not to use the credit card.
I try not to, but sometimes I have to because I don't have enough cash money.
Well, what you need to do is you need to set up an emergency fund, which, once again, that's one of the things that we teach in the Financial Framework Seminar. In fact, that's past getting out of debt and working to get out of debt, building your foundation. The emergency fund is the second step. And you should take at least $15, $20, $25 pay period, or just as much as you can squeeze out, and stick it into a money market account somewhere outside of your checking account, just for emergencies, so that you don't have to use these credit cards. Does that make sense?
So what you're saying is I need like a separate savings account so I can have some money to spend so I don't use credit cards.
Right. You need just a simple money market type account so that you don't have to reach into the credit cards. You don't have to go into your retirement account. You don't have to do anything. That's just for emergencies, in case a tire blows out, refrigerator, you break your leg playing softball or doing something like that. It's just for short-term emergencies what it's for.
Well, that's kind of what got me in trouble to start with, is my transmission went out and I had to put that on a credit card.
Well, that's just a common story. It's either a hot water heater, refrigerator, or a tire. It's always something. And you know, the devil's going to throw things at you your entire life. And the more prepared we are for them, the better off we'll be. So just work on that emergency fund as much as you can. Stick as much away of it as you can. And once you get what you need to have, is you need to have 3 to 6 months of your fixed bills, which fixed bills are debts that can be paid off, such as your mortgage, your credit cards.
Now, Steve actually teaches a course on how to do all these things. It's the Financial Framework course. And we will let you know when it's going to be offered in this area. I think the Rolling Hills Baptist Church is going to be offering this course in the very near future. And maybe we might offer it out here at the radio station at some point. But if you can get to one of those courses, then they'll teach you in that course all these things that Steve's talking about here on the show.
Okay, can I also ask again about what you were saying about paying extra on the credit card?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, Jerry, whenever you work on your budget, you work on your emergency fund, and work on extra money to send to the credit card. Okay, now, and you only want to hit one of those credit cards at a time with that extra money. And when you pay off that first credit card, you want to take that entire amount, the original payment plus what you added to it, and you want to then send that to the second credit card. Every bit of it.
Plus what you're sending.
Plus what you're sending.
That'll help me get them paid quicker?
That'll help you get them paid a whole lot quicker. And then what I want you to do is I want you to then take that entire amount of money, and then I want you to then attack your first mortgage. And I want you to just – and whenever you send that money into the first mortgage, on the check, on the signature line, you want to state on there, apply any overages to principal. And then I want you to also contact your mortgage company on a monthly or at least every other month basis and have them send you an amortization schedule so that you can make sure they're applying the money in the proper way. That help?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I think I get that. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, thank you for your call, and hope you listen to the show every week.
Appreciate it. I'm going to start making it a habit.
Okay. Thank you.
Good deal, buddy.
All right. Bye now.
Be safe.
All right. This is the Financial Framework Show, and you're on the air with Steve Barfield. Who is this?
This is Sherry from Atlanta.
Hey, Sherry.
Hey.
And what's your question today?
My question is if you've got rental property and your renters are for your family, and you can't really make the payments, are the banks negotiating any rates
Yes, they are, Sherry. Is your personal situation as far as your family, are y'all okay? I mean, are you floating along, or are you struggling also?
We're struggling also.
Yeah, well, then you would have a good chance at talking to the mortgage company.
My biggest thing is, like, last year, our income is not going to show very much. And how do I refinance, or do I try to refinance? I actually have a child, a daughter, in both houses, in each one of our rental houses.
Well, what you want to do is, and just as I was talking to Jerry a few minutes ago, do you and your family run on a budget?
No, because we've never had a stable income.
Well, even if you don't have a stable income, it's important to know where your money's going on a monthly basis. So, like I was talking to Jerry about a few minutes ago, and I'm sure people will probably get tired of me talking about this, but budgeting is so important. And so what I want you to do, okay, is even though you don't have a steady income, is to go and get yourself another account, another checking account, and like I always say, preferably at a credit union.
Okay, well, we have like four accounts at...
Wow.
Bank of America, but we keep enough in one of the accounts to where they're all ringed together to where they don't charge me for any extra checking accounts. I guess I could just try to...
Well, you can use one of those.
One of them is my daughter's. I'm letting her float along with me, you know.
Right, right. Well, and let me ask this. See, children, they need to also be running on budgets, and they need to learn about money. And you'll hear me say on the show often that people are taught how to dissect frogs in high school instead of learning about finances and things. So why don't we try to get her in a financial framework class somewhere and teach her some stuff about money? That may help you out.
Yeah, okay, so if I just use one of these accounts, so if I have two checking accounts, right?
Right, two checking accounts, and what you want to do is you want to take your bills that can be paid off, and that's called fixed bills. You want to take those, and you want to determine how much needs to go into that account that pays those fixed bills on a weekly or whenever you're paid. And if you're on commission, commissions are always feast or famine. You're either just money's rolling in like crazy, or
it's kind of construction.
Okay, well,
it's been famine forever.
No money comes in. Well, and so what has to happen when somebody's on commission is they have to really, once again, budget, and they have to be just as frugal with everything that they do that they can do. Because those bills, those fixed bills, have to be paid. Now, let me tell you this, though, first. Make sure that no matter what kind of situation you get in financially, make sure that you pay the first mortgage payment that you live in. That's the most important bill you can pay.
Well, my house is paid for.
Okay, well, then good deal. Okay. But that's the most important thing for other listeners out there, is if you get into financial trouble, make sure you make your mortgage payment.
Okay.
You know, just don't let that happen. But you know, we need to get your children, you know, on a budget. We need to start teaching them about some money. And then if you'll call the mortgage company, like your original question, and talk to them about the situation that's going on, they're working with people right now more than ever to assist.
Sherry is from Atlanta, Steve, and you've got this financial framework program. It's taught in several different locations in the Atlanta area.
Right. Yeah, there's New Life Worship Center, which is in Canton, Georgia. It's starting a class again, and we have churches all over the place. I don't have a list in front of me.
Okay. How would I find out?
Well, you can go to his website, and you can find out there.
Yeah, go to financialframeworkseminar.com.
Okay.
Financialframeworkseminar.com.
Okay, it's really good news to think that, my problem is thinking that they would not work with me since it's rental property, and people that have rental property are not rich people, you know?
I think they're realizing that now.
My daughter actually is a couple of months behind on her payments, but we've been keeping the payments up.
Right.
And I'm just trying to, now, do I... When I call them, do I ask them they're going to ask me to refinance. Well, that's not what I want to do, right?
Right. Well, you know,
I want to.
Yeah, you want to just try to get them to negotiate to lower those payments some for you, the interest rate. I don't know, you know, since it's rental property, you're probably paying a higher interest than you would have paid on your other mortgage. But you definitely want to just negotiate with them. And just like I said on credit cards, Sherry, if something goes, if they don't deal with you, if you find somebody on the phone that don't have a heart, then just simply say goodbye and hang up and then call back in again, because there's somebody there probably will help you.
Okay, so I'll call them and ask them to if they would be interested in negotiating the rates to reduce the payments, because
you're struggling, and make sure that you let them know that your family's in the construction business, and they well know the situation that people are in,
and that I'm actually the one trying to pay the payments now, and if they can't help me, that.
Right, then that house is going to be lost, and they're going to sit on it, and also your child's going to be on the street.
Right.
And once again, see, look for somebody with some heart.
Okay. All right. I really appreciate it, Steve. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for listening in.
Okay.
Great call.
All right,
let's go. We're up against a break, Steve. We'll go to a break. Be back with more of the Financial Framework Show in just a moment. This is the Financial Framework Show. You're on the air. Who is this?
This is Alan.
Hey, Alan.
Yes, sir. Enjoy your show, Mr. Barfield.
Well, thank you, sir.
You're welcome. I've recently took an early retirement. I've been with the company for about 30 years. And I was just wondering, I've got quite a bit in my 401k. And I was just wondering, what would you recommend to do with that money at this particular time? I'm about 55 years old.
Well, first off, Alan, so you've left the company.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and then what about your, let me change gears here for just a minute. What about your, is your mortgage paid off yet and your other debts and all that?
Actually, no, sir. It's I probably owe about another 10 years on my mortgage.
Okay, well, don't let anybody talk you into taking your 401k and applying it to debt, okay? You want to do those two things separate. But now realize that your 401k from the company you left, technically you don't own that money. As long as it's in the 401k, it is really owned by the company that has the money. If they were to go bankrupt, if they were to decide to spend it on light bills or whatever, they could do that without even contacting you. So what you want to do is, you know, you want to take that 401k money and you want to move it.
Okay.
I tend to be on the conservative side now because I don't trust the stock market and things that are going on right now in our country. But I won't get into your personal situation and tell you what to do on the phone. If you want to call or either go to the Financial Framework website, then we will talk about maybe some things if you need my help on that.
I was actually thinking of investing some in the stock market.
My preference would be for you not to do that. Being 55 years old, the stock market should be for long range investors. Currently, about 80% of the money in the stock market is controlled by financial institutions.
Okay.
And years ago, in fact, not too many years ago, though, the companies would actually work on the shareholders having a good long-term steady growth plan. I mean, 20, 25, 30 years. That's the way it used to be. But now the speculators have actually stepped into the market, and a company now will run on about a quarter, about a four-month window. Three or four month window there, where they do all they can do for their shareholders, and they really don't think about the long term of what that company is going to accomplish. So I would just be very fearful right now of the stock market if I were you. Like I said, I've been in this business for a long time, and I've grown more and more and more conservative as time has went on. So
right, well, the market seems to be coming back, recently.
Yeah, but now think about this, Alan. If unemployment is above 10%, you heard me say earlier, if you were on the show, 9.3% of the mortgages, so are 60% or more days past due. Bankruptcies are at a record high. Our government debt is just, there's no way in the world that can be sustained by any civilization. I mean, when you do all the adding up of all the stuff that's going on, it doesn't make any sense to think the stock market is real. I also feel like that a lot of foreign investors probably are also playing around in our market since the dollar is valued so low. So I would just be very cautious of the of messing around with the stock market right now. Now, I think it'll, and I pray that it will come back, but just be real conservative what you do. Just be, and if you need us to help you, like I said, you can go to the Financial Framework Show website, or you can even call the radio station here, and they'll get us the information, and I can help you personally.
Okay, Mr. Barfield, I certainly do appreciate that advice.
Well, and call me Steve, and call as often as you want, Alan.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you, Alan. Good call. Good afternoon. This is Financial Framework Joe. Who is this?
Well, this is John. I don't want to reveal my last name. It's kind of embarrassing.
That's fine.
But I'm running into a situation, Steve, that recently I've become disabled. I was in a bad automobile accident. And I draw enough disability now just to make my house payment. Barely.
Yes, sir.
And it's a real struggle for me and my wife. Me and my wife have been married for 30 years now. And your show was kind of interesting about 2 weeks ago. Your life is basically about like me and my wife's life, you know?
Got married young and started off behind the eight ball.
We're gone now, and now it's a struggle situation due to this situation with me and my disability. But, recently, I got behind on my home payment, and thank God, you know, I went to the bank, as I heard from your request 2 weeks ago.
Right.
And I was able to talk to my banker, and he worked with me, you know, with 1 month. And so I was able to make up the situation. And again, I just like to know, could you give me some advice about, I really don't want to refinance. I'm just going to be frank with you. You're looking at about a $1,200 a month payment. And that's a lot of money for me and my wife. And it's a real struggle just to try to buy food and pay the light bill and so forth, you know. And I'd like to know, can you give me some advice? And I don't know if the subject that I brought up is nothing that you can do to help me out.
Well, first off, let me tell you that, you know, my heart's with you. Been there. And what I want you to do, first and foremost, you and your wife both, I don't know if she's listening today or not, but I want you guys to really and truly, just, you know, you might have a disability of some sort from an injury or whatever, but you're standing there together. You can hold hands. You can love your way through. You can tough your way through together anything. Okay. And we're talking about money. We're not talking about anything really important as far as I'm concerned. So what I want you to do is, first off, make sure that y'all don't get down. Tough times, you know, this is just a blimp in your spot in your life, and I want you to just, you know, focus on the future as much as you can. It's easier said than done, but like I said, I've been there. And what I want you to do is to not focus so much on the issue going on now, but look to the future. Okay, that's what I want you to do first. Because if you get down on this, then the devil's going to whip you. Okay,
yeah, it's about eating me alive here recently.
Well,
just struggling making this payment. It's really
really well. And like I said, my heart's off to you. My heart's with you.
The most important thing is, you know, I don't have but 3.5 more years to go on my home.
Right.
And, you know, I had it mortgaged for 15. And, you know, Lord's been with us all this time. And, you know, some things it's unquestionable. Why did this happen? But why did it happen to a lot of other people, not only me, you know?
But think about this. It could have been something that could have been fatal. It could have been something, you know, you could have lost somebody else. I mean, just... You know, don't ever question what God does, because because we don't know what his plan is. And you know, you heard me say, I guess, a few shows ago that tough times don't last, but tough people do. And so y'all have got to tough this out. And see, since you only have 3.5 years, you have got to protect that house.
Exactly. It's my attention to have it refinanced, and that would be for another, 7 years on that. That would put it back into a 10-year mode.
Right. Right.
And it would throw my payments down to around $450 a month. And again,
let's talk about that for a second. And I don't mean to butt in, but I get excited when I see a little light there. Okay, if we refinance and make it a 10-year spot, okay, and your payments now are around $1,200. Okay,
right.
Your new payment will be $450. All right, so if you will get with me, I'll run you some numbers, and chances are, if you were to take some relief, okay, if you were to go ahead and refinance and get your payment to $450, that is going to stretch you out for a while. But see, we will have the room. You'll have some $750 a month. Is that right? Is that the right math? $650 a month, $750 a month, something like that, that you don't have to send in each month right now, to give yourself some breathing room until you can get something worked out.
And he could get his emergency fund up.
He can get some emergency fund up, but the relief is important, okay? And then what I want us to do then is to figure out then how to add money to the $450 as you can do this and knock it back down into 3 years or less. I don't know if I'm making sense or not.
To a point, you know, at one time I had over $60,000 in savings. You know, I had a lot of money saved up to a point, but when this accident happened, I was disabled for 2.5 years, which, you know, the status of trying to get your disability started, it took 2.5 years for me to get that straightened out, and I burnt all that money up just surviving.
Just surviving, all right.
And so now we're just dead broke, but now I'm running into this issue here. But
well, do me a favor. If one of y'all can grab a notepad and a pencil, okay, because I just want you to write this down, and then it'll make a little more sense to you.
Okay.
Okay. You know, write down $1,200. That's your house payment. And then if you were to do the refinance, that's $450, okay? Do the math and come up with a difference there, which is what, $650?
$750.
That's what I was thinking originally. Okay, so that's $750. And right now, this very day, the $750 would be a relief to you, right?
Definitely.
Okay, now, we've got the $450 new house payment that would be set for 10 years. All right, so then we would take part of the money that you have to send now of the $750. We would take $200 of it or whatever you could afford on a monthly basis, which you don't have to lock yourself into this, but we would take this money and we would attack the $450 note. And we would pay it off, but it would give you some freedom right now, or some breathing room. It would feel like the world's rolled off your back currently is what it would feel like. And then, we would work on accelerating that $450 payment as we go along. And I mean, you might could get it almost back down into about a 3-year window, and give yourself some freedom there.
Yes, sir. Well, I have to do something. You know, it gets to a point in time where I have to pay my own yearly taxes.
Right.
And the way taxes are going around here in Polk County, you know, I mean, I remember when we first purchased this place in '93, $300 now versus up to $1,000 a year.
Oh, I know.
And, you know, it, as I just shared with you about the amount that I make, that I draw each month, it's a struggle situation.
Well, and like I said, though, you and your wife, you have got to, matter of fact, when you get off this telephone call, I want you to walk over there and kiss her on the cheek and tell her you love her, and her tell you she love. I mean, I want you to not let this bother you, not let this because see, if you really focus on this, like a lot of people focus on it, you know, your disability, everything about your life's going to get worse. Your health's going to get worse. You can't let this whip you.
It has.
Well, it needs to stop today. So, can you work on that for me?
Definitely.
I mean, I want you to work on that for me today. We will.
This thing is tearing my eyes as we speak.
Well, let me tell you something. I want you to really get, get on board with me on this, and I will run these numbers for you personally.
And he can go on the Financial Framework Network show.
Yep, sure can.
I mean, on the website.
Mm-hmm.
And find out some more information too.
Out
how to contact you personally too.
Well, yeah, you sure can, and just do that, and you can call the radio show here, and they can give you my contact information, and I'll work with you personally on it, okay?
Well, Steve, you made me feel a little better, and chalk it up as a plus, and I appreciate your time, and I appreciate your show.
Well, but let me tell you, I want you to call back anytime. In fact, I do want you to call back and let me know how you're doing, okay?
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir, and tell your wife I say hello.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you, John. We're up against a break. We'll be back with more of the Financial Framework Show in just a moment. We have someone on the line. This will have to be our last call today, Steve, because we're bumping up against the top of the hour. Good afternoon. This is the Financial Framework Show. Who is this?
This is Chuck in Marietta.
Hey, Chuck. How you doing, sir?
I'm well. Thank you, Mr. Barfield. I have a situation unlike the last guy where I have a wife that is not aware that the economy is in trouble. And and she is finding ways to spend money, and it's the kids got to have this and the kids got to have that. And I was looking for some advice to try to rein this in.
Well, first off, go back to earlier comments on the budgeting system. You know, does your wife, does she participate in paying the bills, or do you do that on your own?
I do most of that myself.
Okay, well, what we need to do is, you're not behind on things, you're just trying to reel her in, right? Or are you behind?
A little, but nothing that's not controllable.
Okay, well, and you have children?
I do.
Okay, and how old are they?
20 and 16.
Okay, well, the 20-year-old probably is either on their own or in college, so I would definitely have the 16-year-old and the wife and yourself sit down at the table and start working on a budget as a family. And go and get yourself a second checking account. Put your mortgage, your car payments, your credit cards, whatever you have. Make sure you put enough money in that on a monthly basis. Leave whatever's left in that budget B account. That's your lifestyle account. If you can get your wife and your son to sit down with you and let them participate in writing out the electric bill and all the other bills you have there coming out of that account, your tithing at church or whatever, then if she can see just the money that's in that account and what's left after the mortgage and things are paid, you know, that may help out a lot. But it sounds to me like, just like a lot of situations going on with couples around the country, it sounds like a communication problem. I don't think, you know, y'all are not talking about it like you should be talking about it. So just make sure that you come up with this family meeting and set this thing up. Does that make sense?
Just get her involved, right?
Get her involved.
Yeah, I'd love to get her involved. If we could get her out of the stores and in front of the computer paying bills, that would be a great thing.
Well, if she sees a smaller amount of money in that budget B account, I think that's going to help out a lot.
I like that idea of splitting the money. Thank you so much.
Okay, and then continue to listen, buddy, okay?
Every week. Thank you.
And you can go to the Financial Framework website and get a lot of ideas.
A lot of information there. And listen, if Richard, the one that was on the cell phone that was cut off, that was actually one of the clients of Financial Framework, call back in next week if you don't mind, Richard. We run out of time today.
Thank you.
See you, Chuck.
Good call, Chuck. And that's the Financial Framework Show for today.